Hi, everyone. This is Pastor Raul. I want to take this time to invite you guys to Israel. You know, we go every 2 years to Israel, and it's been so awesome to see people that have gone in the past, to watch their transformation coming back home. So when you open the Bible and you read it, in your mind, you go back to those places that not only you walked, but places where God touched your life, especially when we went to the tomb. And I can remember people going into the tomb, coming out of the tomb in a complete different way. So we invite you to come with us to Israel, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. Again, we love you. Come to Israel.
Get together with Raul, Sharon, and Ryan Reese for a trip to the land of Israel, April 23rd through May 3rd, 2018. For more information, go to somebodylovesyou.com. That's somebodylovesyou.com. And click on the tab Israel 2018. Or call Inspired Travel at 714-957-8606. That's 714-957-8606.
Many are called, but few are chosen. Only those that truly believe by faith in Jesus Christ and live a life of faith in obedience to Jesus Christ will be there, but not the disobedient. It's something to think about this morning as we stand in the presence of God and His Word, knowing the times they were living under.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Thanks for being with us in our continuing series focused on God's free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. If you've never received the Lord Jesus as your Savior, Raul will encourage you to take time today to seriously consider this important decision. You'll see that God will never force you to choose eternal life with Him, but the invitation is yours for the taking. Here's Raul Reese now with the message, The Greatest Invitation Given. We'll start today in Matthew chapter 22.
Jesus now has gone into the city. He's presenting Himself as the Messiah, and He has been rejected by the nation of Israel. In chapter 22, verses 1 through 14, we have a parable, one of many parables that Jesus spoke. But what's interesting about this parable, the parable is the great invitation given to the nation of Israel and also to the Gentiles. There are two invitations given in this parable. And it's amazing because the nation of Israel, when He spoke to them, He was talking to them about salvation. And yet, the Jews or the nation of Israel, millions of them, rejected Him. But at the same time, we can see that God has given the Jews not only the first opportunity to receive and to take the gospel of Jesus Christ not only to the Gentiles, but the Jews failed in their commitment to God in taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. God speaks to the nation of Israel as He speaks to the Gentiles in this parable. Look what He says beginning with chapter 2 of Matthew, verse 1. Let me read the parable and we'll expound the parable. He says, And then Jesus answered and spoke to them again in parables, saying, And a parable is what? A parable was used to illustrate with a story to a truth that was to be doctrinally true to them so they could believe the word of God. He says, The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. And then he sent out his servants to call those who are invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. And then again, he sent out other servants saying, Hey, tell those that are invited, see that I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatted calf I've killed, and all things are ready, come to the wedding. Imagine the excitement of a wedding. Preparing the meals. Preparing the invitations. And the very day comes and no one wants to come to your wedding.
You feel rejected.
Why wouldn't they want to come to my wedding? It's a time not only of honor, but a time of festivity, and a time where we can not only deal with each other, but be with each other and see the greatness of God as He puts together a husband and a wife. And God here is giving the greatest invitation ever to the Jewish nation. Look what else He says. Verse 5. But they made light of it and went their way. And one went back to his own farm and another one went back to his own business. They were too busy. And then the rest seized the servants and treated them despitefully and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious. And he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. And then he said to his servant, hey, the wedding is ready, but those who are invited were not worthy. So therefore go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. And so those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both good and bad. And the wedding then hall was totally filled with people and guests. And when the king came to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have a wedding garment. I want you to underline it and keep that in your mind. And so he said to him, friend, how is it that you get into my wedding? How did you get in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And then the king said to the servants, hey, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into utter darkness. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. What a parable to the Jew and to the Gentile. God giving the greatest invitation of all. This is not the same parable of the Great Supper in Luke 14, 16 to 24. This is different. Here we have the Father and the Son. Here we have the King, which is who? God the Father, inviting people as He sends His only begotten Son into the world. And the world rejects Him. Doesn't want nothing to do with the Son. When you think of salvation, the free gift of God, I think also how Jesus suggested to the church how we, by faith, come to know His love and grace and mercies. But at the same time, we forget that in the Sermon on the Mount, as Jesus was speaking to His disciples, He said these very words. He said, look, enter in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many that will go in by it. Because narrow is the way and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are very few who will ever find it. What was He talking about? He was talking about people trying to come into the kingdom of God that would never come in. They would take the wrong road. They would not come in the straight gate. You notice that there was a guy in the wedding feast that had a garment that was not acceptable in heaven. In the parable, this young man that is there in the wedding feast is a person who is trying to sneak into the kingdom of God by his own works and by his own righteousness. He can't get in. There's a lot of people like that in church today. They don't really have the true righteous, the true garment of righteousness, which comes only by faith in Jesus Christ. But they're trying to get in some other way. And they think they're going to get in. They will perish. We have a great job ahead of us. As a church. As the people of God. Not to convince people about Jesus Christ, but to live the life so they can be convicted by our lives. That's the key. Because on that day, in the Sermon on the Mount again, Jesus speaking to His disciples, He made it very clear in Matthew 7, 21, 23. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? Notice, these are religious people. People that were in church. People that talk religiously. But they never had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's not the few. He said, many. And then check this out. This is what Jesus says to them. And then I, Jesus, will declare unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice sin. And they'll depart into utter darkness, into the eternal fires of hell. When the Lord came to the end of the book of Revelation and he speaks about the white throne judgment, in Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15, he said, I saw a great white throne by him who sat on it. From those whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was no place found for them. And then I saw the dead and the small and the great standing before God, and the books were open. And another book was opened, which was the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in those books. And then the sea gave up the dead that was in it. The dead in hell delivered up every dead person in hell, and they were judged according to their works. And the dead in hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone who was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is hell a real place? You bet. It's a real place. Even as heaven is a real place. Now you can see when Jesus entered into the city of Jerusalem and when he was rejected in the 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew, he begins to stand over the city of Jerusalem and he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one that I wanted to gather together like a chicken with all her little chicks, I would have gathered you, but you were not willing to come to me. You rejected me. And there are so many people today that reject Jesus Christ. They don't want nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And yet, what does he offer? He offers his grace, his love, his mercy, his cross. And yet, Peter, in 2 Peter 3:9 said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. What is the heart of God? Repentance. That none should be what? Perish. God is never ever going to force himself onto you. He's already sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. He's the greatest sign, the greatest miracle. And that's why it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:16-17. It is so important to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. The invitation is there for everyone and anyone that wants to come to Christ. Go back to the parable. Look again what he says. Let's get the full picture here. Verse 2. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son, God the Father, and his son Jesus Christ. Verse 3. And he sent out his servants. Who's that? He sent out his servants, the Old Testament prophets. And those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. So as God used the Old Testament prophets to proclaim the gospel to the people of God, notice the invitation was given to the nation of Israel, and they did not want to come. They rejected it. Verse 4. And again, he sent out other servants saying, hey, tell those who are invited, see that I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, his fatted calf are killed, and things are ready, come to the wedding. The heart of God is crying out, why won't you come? Everything's ready. All you got to do is just come and begin to enjoy the wedding. But watch this, verse 5 and 6, the rejection. But they made light of it. How many people do you know today that are making light the things of God? That's dangerous. Too much is given, much more is required on the day of judgment. These people were making things light. Hey, I don't need to come. I'm too busy. I'm too important. I'm going back to my business and I'm going back to my farm. How many times we find people making so many stupid excuses about eternity when it's the most important thing in life? How do you know you're going to be here tomorrow? You don't know that. There are no guarantees for any one of us here that we're going to live one more day. And yet people think, hey, I'm not going to die. Somebody else will die, but not me. I will live to a good old age. Oh, really? Do you have a guarantee about that? Don't you understand that the moment you take your last breath on this earth, immediately you're in the presence of God. Either you're in the presence of God or you're in the presence of Satan in hell. No turning back once you die. It's over. And imagine how it must be for people that at one time sat in churches just like this church in the past. And today they're in the center of the earth in hell, being tormented in utter darkness day and night, waiting for the white throne judgment to be thrown into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever, to be totally away from the presence of God and His light. Never again to see Him. And I think that the worst torment in hell will be the conscience and the mind to know every sin that I ever committed and the times I rejected Jesus Christ, and to know that I will never ever see Jesus Christ ever again, or my family, or anybody else that I know that's a Christian. There are people today like that, thinking in hell. All five senses are working in hell, the Bible says in Luke chapter 16, verse 19 to the end of the chapter. And so it's important that we understand that the Jew rejected the message, but God gave the opportunity to who? To the Gentiles, us. Look what He says in verse 6. And the rest seized His servants and treated them despisefully and killed them. So they began to kill what? The prophets, they began to kill the disciples. Verse 7. But when the king heard about it, he was furious. God is not pleased, you see. And what did he do? He sent out his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. What did God do? God set his judgment on Israel on 70 AD, 40 years after Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead, as Titus the Roman came and destroyed the city of Jerusalem. Here he's prophesying in the parable. It would happen. Look what else he says. Verse 8. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited are not worthy. Therefore go out into the highways and the notice, and as many as you find, invite them to the wedding." So now the Gentiles get the gospel. And for the last 1900 years, guess what? The Gentiles have been getting saved. And so those servants went out into the highways and gathered together those that they found. And it was both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled to capacity with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, what is he talking about? The day of judgment. What did he see? People say, well, you know what? I can always hide and go into the kingdom of God. Well, I doubt that. So he said to him what? He saw a man there who did not have a wedding garment. Notice that. What do you mean? He was not clothed by the righteousness of God, the faith in Jesus Christ. He had another garment. He had a garment of his own works and his own merits and his own thing that he was doing. He thought, hey, I can get in just by being religious. I can get in by doing my own thing. I can get in. I went to church. I gave my money to the church. And I did this and I did that. I went to Mexico trips. I went to Israel. It doesn't matter.
He doesn't care what you do. He stood out before everybody else. And what happened to him? Look what it says. Verse 12. And so he said to him, "Friend, how in the world did you come in here without a wedding garment?" There's a question. Hey, what did you do with my son, Jesus Christ? He was speechless. You say, well, when I stand before God, I'm going to tell him this. You're not going to say nothing. Speechless. Shocked. And the king said to his servants, the angels, "Bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into utter darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." You say, well, why will there be weeping? Well, imagine being there for all eternity in utter darkness without the Holy Spirit, without God, without the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, and to be there thinking of every opportunity and every evil deed you ever did. No everlasting anything that is good, but everything that is evil. And what does it say? He says, not only there will be weeping there, but you try for about 5 minutes, take your teeth and gnash your teeth for 5 minutes and see the pain you have in your jaw. Imagine forever and ever gnashing your teeth. That doesn't sound like heaven. And what does he say? Again, what Jesus said, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Is heaven going to be filled with a lot of people? I don't know about that. Many are called, but few are chosen. Only those that truly believe by faith in Jesus Christ and live a life of faith in obedience to Jesus Christ will be there, but not the disobedient. It's something to think about this morning as we stand in the presence of God in His Word, knowing the times that we're living under.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Ries. And if you'd like to review today's lesson, we can send you an unedited copy for a gift of any amount. Just call 800-634-9165 and ask for the message, "The Greatest Invitation Given." And as you meditate on the Lord's great love for you and the amazing invitation He's extended to you, we'd like to offer you an MP3 collection of three messages simply titled Salvation. Each lesson explores more of what the Bible has to say about God's offer to forgive and restore each of us into a real relationship with Him. If you still have some questions about what it means to be saved from your sins through the sacrifice of Jesus, this resource will equip you with biblical insight. Get in touch with us today for the answers you need. Just visit SomebodyLovesYouRadio.com or call 800-634-9165 and place your order for Rawls' all-new Salvation MP3 collection of three messages. We'll send you this resource for a gift of just $7.95 plus shipping and handling. The phone number again is 800-634-9165. Or you can order this resource by writing us at Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Just a reminder, our mission at Somebody Loves You Radio is to faithfully proclaim the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we simply couldn't do that without your financial support. If you've already given, we'd like to say thank you. And if not, then why not consider a donation to ensure these broadcasts continue? You can give by calling 800-634-9165, and every contribution is tax deductible. Coming up on the next Somebody Loves You Radio, we'll continue with more from this series on salvation. If you've ever heard Christians call themselves born again and found it confusing, you'll discover what it means and how you can experience this renewal for yourself. Here's Roll now with a final word from today's message.
Way back 750 years before Jesus ever came, the prophet Isaiah gave the same invitation. Listen to what he said in Isaiah 55, 1 to 3. He said, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the water, and you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine, milk, without money, without a price. Salvation is free. Why do you spend money for what is not bread?" Notice, why are you spending your money on something that will never satisfy you? "And your wages for what does not satisfy.
Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Let your soul delight in itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The sure mercies of David will be with you. God is offering in the Old Testament free salvation, just like he is today. You have to choose heaven or hell. And if Jesus Christ is not number one in your life, you're in deep trouble. Because he's the only one that can help you. He's the only one that will listen to you. He's the only one that I can ever seek refuge to when I'm in trouble and when I'm feeling down, because he's the only one that truly answers prayer. And he's there to love you.
I am falling in love.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.